Good morning, everybody. Let's take a moment at this time to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again for your amazing Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you had a plan to have him come to earth, become the God-man, go to the cross to pay the price for the sin of the world, redeem us, and then rise from the dead. And then now he is seated at your right hand as head of this church, all the members of the royal family in the church age. And Father, we thank you also that you provided the Holy Spirit to indwell us and your word alive and powerful. We thank you, Father, that there is so much for us to learn and be deepened in the truth of the New Testament in particular. Father, we thank you for all of that. We ask for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit today, Father, on everything that will be going on here and during the week as well. Father, we pray for the song service. We pray for the teaching. We pray for the giving, the fellowshipping. We also pray, Father, directly on behalf of the needs of the saints at this time. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and join us for the song service.
Good morning again, everybody. Saying goodbye to our lovely young people over there. Yes, sirree. By the way, we take care of our young people. We got a prep school room for the older kids, prep school room for the younger kids. We've got a mother's room for the itty-bitties. And also on Mondays, we have a youth group meeting for children from the ages of 12 to 98. So if that's you, you can come on Monday. Speaking of the youth group, next Sunday, not today, but next Sunday, right after service from about noon to 2 o'clock, they're having a car wash. So that's a lot of fun. They're doing that actually to take some responsibility because they're also planning an event in November to invite new young people, to expose them to the gospel, to expose them and show them about our youth group, about our church, about Friday night Bible study. So that's really exciting. Keep that in prayer, please. And because there are some expenses that are related to putting that event on, they've taken it upon themselves to try to make sure that they have do as much as they can to have the money available for that. So again, next Sunday, October 27th, right after service from 12 to 2, there's going to be a youth group car wash. See how that turns out. Also, believe it or not, Thanksgiving's coming up. I can't believe we're already over halfway through October. But once again this year, as we did last year, we're going to have our special service on Tuesday. All right, Tuesday, November 26th. That gives all the people cooking and all that other kind of thing I know you do for Thanksgiving. Not me, but you know, people that cook. I do the eating and the football watching. But Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, Tuesday, November 26th. And as a reminder, we are on radio every Sunday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WFTL 850 a.m. We're also on radio in Arizona in two different locations, by the way. Keep that in prayer, in Tucson and also in Phoenix. And that's, we're very grateful for the folks at the Tucson Bible Study for sponsoring that radio effort to get the word out, the word of God. All righty, and once again, I do have an open door, an open internet policy, which means anytime you got a question or a concern or if you need some advice and guidance on how the Bible speaks to a certain issue, you can send me an email. If we figure out we need to come face-to-face or talk on the phone, we'll do that as a follow-up to that. But that's my email address right there. Pretty easy, huh? pastor@lbible.org. There you go. So if you guys are tired of me and you bring somebody else in, the email won't change. See how that works? pastor@lbible.org. All righty. Please turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We are now underway with a really great subject. The subject is the wonder, the security, the blessings of our position in Christ as believers. It's an amazing thing that the New Testament actually reveals. It's something that mankind could never come up with this on our own. You know how I know that? Because if you take a look at all of the religions of the world, okay, that man has developed, and religion basically means man trying to work his or her way back to God or back to perfection or back to whatever you want to call it. All right? If you look at all of those, they never came up with a Savior down from heaven God becoming man, dying for our sins, and then rising and being seated at the right hand of the Father, and then having a time period, an age called the church age, where everybody who believes in Jesus Christ is put in permanent union with him as one fantastic body. All right? It's so amazing that we would never even imagine it was so. And that's why God had to do what he did, which is reveal it to us. See, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is saying there are things which you would never know, never imagine. And so that God says to us, therefore I must reveal them to you. And this is what the Bible is, especially the New Testament epistles, especially those. So we are looking at the wonders of being in Christ. The amazing blessings that are already there and for us to find. It's amazing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose again and you realize that you're a sinner and that he died for you and you believe that, this is you. You, at that moment, God the Holy Spirit placed you in permanent union with Christ. It's amazing. And then not only that, but all the things that God has put in Christ for us. You know, in Christ is a very general statement. And we're searching through the New Testament scriptures to find these places. As I mentioned on Thursday, every time you find the phrase in Christ or in him, meaning in Christ in the New Testament, something wonderful is sitting right there for you. And you already have it. And the whole process here is that by studying the New Testament epistles and by having the Holy Spirit enlighten us and empower us for the meaning behind it and understanding of it, we start to live more and more in Christ, even though we're already there, in our experience, in our understanding, in our enjoyment. We're meant to enjoy the fact that we're in Christ. And in Christ is a general statement. But the wonderful thing is that this is placed in Christ and we're there. And then we find out all the particulars. You know, it's kind of like saying the father makes vacation plans. And he says to the children, we're going to Lake George. And the children go, yay! Woohoo! What's Lake George? Right? Even the mother might say, well, okay, that's great. So then you have to get into the particulars. Well, it's this huge lake and you can go swimming in it and canoeing in it and fishing in it and all that stuff. And then when you're tired of that, there's all this shopping. And then all of a sudden the mother goes, that's a great place. Let's go. And then the kids find out that there's amusement parks and there's all kinds of stuff. And so now all of a sudden you put substance and meaning and specifics on the general principle. All right. Same thing with being in Christ. We're going to be here to find out and enjoy the specifics. And we should. And we should take them in and understand that that's who we are now. God has made us to be in Christ by his grace. We're going to study this too. Once we get done seeing the amazing things that are for us in Christ, then we're going to step back and say, hey, wait a minute. How exactly did we get there? And when we see that, the plan of God from eternity past, all the way through the fall of Adam, all the way through why Jesus Christ had to come. And then what happens when we believe it? When we see that all laid out, it's going to just be magnificent. All of this to strengthen you. All of this to establish you. All of this, like we saw when we were in the book of Hebrews, right? We are gathered together for the sake of encouragement. What great encouragement we find in the New Testament. Particularly the subject that we're on now, being in Christ Jesus. So we're going to explore these amazing blessings that are found for us in Christ. During the week, those of you who are here, you were great. You went right along with my request to imagine reading the back cover of the latest blockbuster self-help book. That was a great thing. We saw that some statements that could be made, and we found out the amazing things that were hinted at in that exercise were all facts about you in Christ Jesus. Facts. Facts are wonderful things, aren't they? They don't change. There are things you can get your arms around. There are things that you can concentrate on. Been studying these kids, they make me do more things. Now they asked for, and we're coming through, Dane, Robert, and I, with a whole series on other religions in comparison to Christianity. Of course, that means I got to go study other religions, which I'm fine with it now, but it's really kind of tough. Because you start looking at all the lies that sound good, and you really always have to be, as Olivia in that class mentioned, you know, You always have to get back to the real money after studying the counterfeit. You know, focus on the real money. So I'm going to still focus on the real money, you know, about what the New Testament has to say are facts about us, because we are in union with the King of Kings. We are in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's facts about us in Christ. A lot of other religions spend all their time trying to come up with theories about us on our own, and trying to meditate and find something deep within that's God in you and all this crazy stuff. Right? It's nonsense. Right? But it's attractive to the natural-minded man. But what the Bible comes around and says is, I've got things for you that God has prepared for you since the dawn of time. And they're all true. They're all facts. They're not going to change. God has revealed them to us, from God to us. All facts because of two phrases that we can find in the New Testament epistles. In Christ and in Him, with a capital H. Okay? In Christ and in Him. These, again, whenever you find this expression in the New Testament epistles, particularly, it's something wonderful that's already true about you, if you're a believer. It's a fact about you. And these things are amazing, and I've just been encouraging us, I'm going to keep saying this, is to enjoy them. To enjoy them, not just to jot them down, not just to check off, I know that now, but to stop and look at it and say, wow, that really is me in Christ. That really is Christ, and I'm in Him. We're in Him. And to enjoy those things. How long has it been since any of us have just taken some time out of our busy lives and just enjoyed just one fact about us being in Christ? We're going to see that there's all kinds of facts about our being in Christ. We're going to see that these wonders of being in Christ, in an amazing way, they correspond to Jesus in His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and His session. That's always front and center. All that Jesus is, what He accomplished for us at the cross, what it meant for Him to rise from the dead, where He's seated now, and how the Holy Spirit comes along and through the Word of God ties us into all of that. We are baptized into Christ in His death. What does that mean? Well, we're going to be exploring that question forever. We explore it, as I mentioned on Thursday, I think. Every time we gather together for the Lord's Supper, that's what we're doing. We're going to the Word of God to find out more. What was this amazing thing that happened on the cross? And how did it completely change everything about me, paying the price for my sins? But also, the Bible says we were baptized into His death. Our old man was crucified with Him. What's that all about, right? Well, what's the magnitude of that? Well, we need to continue to study the Word of God to find out and let the Holy Spirit deepen our understanding of these things. I can't tell you the number of times, for example, I've gone to Romans 6 in the last 7 or 8 years. Been drawn to that chapter quite a bit. Every time I go there, there's something else about it that deepens my understanding of what's really being talked about in Romans 6, about being baptized into Christ, about the Holy Spirit being on the scene, and how the fact that because of Christ's death and the fact that our old man was crucified with Christ on the cross, we're dead to sin and alive to Christ. Still, you know, there's so much there. That's the death. Then the resurrection. And all that that means. We studied that recently when we saw the power behind His resurrection is something that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives now. That, yes, it was an event 2,000 years ago, the resurrection, and we can study that objectively. But we saw so many passages that talked about the power behind His resurrection is for us now, and that when we're in a situation of dying or death or suffering or feeling like there's some issue between us and God, and there are times when things seem so bad, there's only one force in the universe that could possibly fix it, we have it, the power behind the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to learn more and more about that. But now we're also realizing, yeah, wait a minute, He rose from the dead, but He's also seated at the right hand of the Father. And all that that means, God, again, we're going to be spending eternity with all that that means. I mean, we, for example, if you go to the very end of the Bible, you don't have to turn there now, but if you go to the book of Revelation, you got these scenes where the elders and the thousands and the myriads, they're all huddled around the throne to just worship Jesus Christ there. We're going to be doing that for all of eternity. So, but now we can start. We can start having the Holy Spirit give us the particulars. What does it mean to be in Christ? And it's so important to do that because we know that as we studied before in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, that we can get discouraged. that we can have the forces of unbelief ravage our souls. And that we need an antidote to that. And we saw it always has to do with that person, Jesus Christ, our priest, our high priest in the heavens. And just going to him, concentrating on him again. Because we are in union with Christ as believers. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Places us in permanent union with Jesus Christ. We share the things that are his. Just let that sink in for a minute. Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, the perfect Son of Man, who is in the right hand of God the Father, we share the things that are his. Now that's a fellowship. The sharing of things that are Christ's. So, what we're going to do this morning, in kind of a different form, we're going to go look at the scripture passages that speak about us being in Christ. And we're going to do it, again I mentioned we're going to try to come at this from a different angle. And the angle is just that whole thing about questions that a book would ask and try to answer if it was trying to get a lot of attention and sales and the things that human beings long for. We're going to find out that those things that God ministers to us by placing us in Christ. That the things that we have now because we are in Christ are really things that we need. And never imagined we could get out of life until we found out about Christ in the New Testament. So we're going to do a lot of that this morning. But as we do, and I do encourage you to, as we go one by one, to take them all in. They're all wonderful. But also to let your heart settle on a particular one that you know is for you right now. So that when you leave today, there was at least one amazing, wondrous fact about you being in Christ that ministers to what you need right now. That's what he wants out of this. That's why he's given these things to us. We saw the question, please turn to Romans 6:23 if you haven't already, but are you afraid of dying? In Romans 6:23, I mean, a lot of people are, and that's understandable, afraid of dying. But being in Christ tells us something wonderful that answers this issue that human beings have. Look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's why death is here, you know. Death is here because man sinned. Adam fell. Okay, but God didn't leave us there. How do we know that? Because of the second part of this verse. But the free gift of God, by the way, right there, is what separates Christianity from all of the false religions in the world. The free gift of God. You don't find that. I've been studying Hinduism. Pray for me. But you study that and you find out that it's all about pathways that mankind has to forge himself to get back to this condition, this place, whatever they call it. Some believe in God, some don't. It's all about mankind striving, and only a few can do this one and more can do that one. But it's all mankind striving, working, disciplining, all of that. And then I turn to my Bible and it says, forget all about that. The real God gives you free gifts by just believing. Just believing in him. You get what? The free gift of God. Notice what this gift is, by the way. Eternal life. Eternal life. When was the last time in the midst of this world of death you just took some time out and you parked your soul in Christ and said, wow, I have eternal life. I already have it. Jesus Christ said that if we believe in him, we've already passed from death to life. When was the last time you rejoiced in the fact that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've already passed from death to life, eternal life? It's yours. Where is it right now? Notice, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I told you. Anytime you see that expression in Christ, something wonderful is right there that's already a fact about us. Eternal life. Now, yeah, we can go past that. I got 20 of these to go on this morning. But I'm asking you to just stop and just consider the wonder of having eternal life. Eternal life. Think about our world. Think about all that goes on in that world that's in the realm of death. Think about all the struggles, all of the desires and the hopes of people to try to do something to put off death a little longer. And yet, Because you're in Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you're not going to die physically. What it does mean is that there's a life way more wonderful than physical life. And you already have it. You already have it. Second question we looked at, and if you could just go back to Romans 3:23. Yes, Romans 3:23. Just go backpedal a few chapters. Notice we're in the book of Romans a lot to begin with. Romans, Ephesians, great, great books for being in Christ. Find some of these amazing statements about us, facts. A lot of people are prisoners of their past. They are. They think a lot about a mistake of the past, a failure, a pain, a difficulty. And they go back to it and back to it and back to it. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to realize something. That God has already dealt with all of those mistakes, all of those failures, all of those burdens related to sin and related to sins. Look at Romans 3:23 to 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Up to that point, by the way, a lot of the world's religions would agree with this. They would agree that we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that's where the resemblance ends. That nice word, well, it's not there. But, I'll put it in there anyway. Being justified. What's justified? Basics class. Remember, justification is God, at the moment we believe in Christ, looking at us in light of the work of Christ on the cross, paying the price for all of our sins, perfectly satisfying the justice and righteousness of God. In light of Christ and the fact that we believed in him, he counts our faith as righteousness. Whoa! I mean, this is a 1-2 punch. Think about all the people in this world that are working on their own righteousness right now. Maybe somebody made a terrible mistake in the past. Maybe it was very public, and they're spending the rest of their life trying to fix it, make amends for it. Maybe they're in a religion again, a religion that is glad to come to you and say, oh yeah, you've got lots of sins, and here's what you have to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, the more the merrier for religion. You can have 5 pillars, you can have the eightfold way, you can have 3,000 so-called gods in Hinduism, you can have 12 steps, you can have all these things. Like you have to do to make amends for your sins. That's religion. And you know that there are millions and billions under that bondage right now, thinking that they've got to do something because they've sinned, because they know they're not right, and they're going to fix it themselves. It's like a man with no legs and no arms trying to put an artificial leg on himself. That's what it's like. That's what a sinner trying to become sinless on his own. It's not going to happen. And yet, the religions of the world who are sponsored by Satan are going to be more than happy to try to dangle the carrot in front of the human beings and say, oh yeah, you can do it. It's like Charlie Brown trying to kick that football while Lucy has it. Right? Or like, who was it that used to try to pull a rabbit out of his hat? Bullwinkle, wasn't it? I don't know. I'm going with it. Yes, I'm a child of the 70s. I can't help it. Yeah, I think it was Bullwinkle. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. That trick never works. You know, that's religion. Right there in a nutshell. But that's not Christianity. Why? Being, verse 24, Romans 3, being justified, there it is again. This is Christianity. As a gift. By his grace, as a gift, by his grace. I never get tired of reading that. I never do. I always want to jump into that word grace like it's this beautiful pool of 75-degree water on a 90-degree day, which is cold for Florida, but that's just fine for a New England boy. Just want to dive right into grace. Stay there for a while. Enjoy it. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption. I've been redeemed, right? By the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. Where is it? Where can I go now and enjoy my redemption anytime I want to? The place I told you about is the wonderful place in the New Testament, in Christ Jesus. That's where. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God, which I love, because you see, and by the way, it's in him. Notice where it is, by the way. Not in us, it's in Christ, but you're in union with Christ. So you can go walk in any time and realize, I have that, because I'm in him now. But notice, it's not, I love this, this is so wonderful about the New Testament. It doesn't even say the righteousness of the Son of God, or the Son of Man, right? It doesn't even talk about human righteousness here. It talks about the righteousness of God. That's a mind blow. Because even the greatest religions of the world are trying to work you up to a place where you're a righteous human. But you believe in Christ, we're talking the righteousness of God here. It's amazing. And if you check it out, check me out on this. That's what's always talked about. When righteousness is associated with somebody in the New Testament as the gift we've received, it's God's himself. Well, that's a slam dunk. That's rock solid. You're not touching that. That's amazing. Where is it? In Christ Jesus. I'm just stopping so you enjoy it. I'm not in a hurry. Are you in a hurry? Anybody in a hurry this morning? What time do the Dolphins play? Yeah, the Patriots do too. 1 o'clock, early game. Like I care. I mean, it's fun and all that. Best thing about sports is it is a great picture for, you know, the life. And I've told you before about baseball. I think baseball was invented by God. That's another story. Okay? Because there is a possibility that baseball will go on forever. I'll just give you that much. See, every other sport just about has a clock. Right? But baseball, if those people at the plate keep hitting hits and getting walks, that baby could go on forever. Now, no one has yet. By the way, you know what the longest professional baseball game ever, you know where it's held? There's another trivia question for you this morning. Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Yes, sirree. Triple-A baseball, the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox, how are they doing? You don't even know. You guys don't even know. But it was 33-inning game. It was a long game, you know. I'll give you a clue. Anytime you talk about the Triple-A Farm Club or the Red Sox, here's how you know whether or not you're a New Englander, okay? If you call it Pawtucket, you're not a New Englander. If you call it Pawtucket, then you're a New Englander. I got to liven it up a little bit. All right, next question. Please turn to Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11. Is your life drifting along dead and lifeless? Is your life drifting along dead and lifeless? You see, this book, which last week, remember, was that blockbuster, but now we know what the real book is, right? It's going to point out the place you can live where you will be completely alive again. And it's not Hawaii. It's not even Las Vegas. Completely alive again, bringing you into the life of the greatest person who ever lived. And that ain't Einstein. The greatest person who ever lived. Look at Romans 11, Romans 6, verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. Alive to God in Christ Jesus, that wonderful place. Alive to God. Imagine that. There's no greater way to live than being alive to God. We saw recently that we really need to concentrate and make sure we understand. Every day you wake up in the morning, if nothing else happens, I want you to just realize once again how much God the Father loves you. How much he loves you. We saw that was the wellspring of everything else that happens in the Christian way of life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We saw in Romans 8, 38, 39, nothing, neither life nor death, nor powers nor principalities, or future things, anything, any created thing will ever separate you from the love of God made manifest in Christ Jesus. So every day, please, just do that. Just at least say, you know what, no matter what else is going on, no matter how confused I am, no matter how much I feel I'm a rotten person, time out, world, time out, flesh, time out, kingdom of darkness. Hold on. I know you love me. Do that. I know you love me, God. You watch what a difference that makes. This isn't just playing around. And you know it's true. See, the great thing about doing that with things that are in the Bible is that they're facts. They're not some Swami's imagination who was on top of some high mountain and said, I saw something, I can't tell you what it is ever, but you do what I tell you for the next 50 years and maybe you'll get there. You know, the great thing about Christianity is these are all facts that God has put in his word that have not changed in 2,000 years. And the great thing about them all is they're all gifts. Don't get used to that. Don't get familiar with the idea of grace and gifts. I'm telling you, I'm studying these, the false religions of the world. The greatest thing it's doing is sharpening my appreciation for Christianity. And also, by the way, identifying some of the pitfalls of a false Christianity. Because that's one of the things that happens. Satan is not, you know, he's a genius and all that, but he tries to play the same games over and over again. You can see him in the false religions. Then you watch and you say, wait a minute though, here I am putting down a false religion, and look, it's in Christianity. The same stuff is in there now. Do you realize that there are lots of Christian churches now that are teaching transcendental meditation as a way to God, for example? That's right out of the playbook of the false Eastern religions. You got to be careful about that. The whole works thing, which is all about all the different pathways to God. When people say, oh, there's lots of ways to God, that's the false religions from other, you know, India and China and stuff. That's the only reason the only motivation I have to continue studying, because the fact that I love these kids, is the fact that it's really sharpening my appreciation of real biblical Christianity. So Romans 6:11, please turn to Romans 8:2. There's no reason why a believer in Christ should ever think that their life is lifeless, drifting along, dead. Look at Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has already set you free from the law of sin and of death. Don't get used to that. The law of the life, the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit inside you is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the place, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now my question to you this morning is, if God, through the Spirit, has set you free from the law of sin, have you set yourself free from the law of sin? If he sets you free in his life from the law of death, the principles of death, what death does to a soul and a heart, okay, the Spirit of life has set you free from all that. But have you set you free from all those things? You see, the deadliness. The one thing that the kingdom of darkness wants to do is to make your heart into a deadened heart. A cold heart. A lifeless heart. You see, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to work on that all the time. Trying to wear us down. Trying to just let the deadliness of this world creep into your heart, creep into your soul. What's the antidote? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because it's only the Holy Spirit that can do war against the flesh, by the way. You have the Holy Spirit. Who is he? The Spirit of life. Where is that life? In Christ Jesus. Don't get familiar with that. Realize that God has given you these amazing things because he's accomplishing something in our day that you would never believe unless you read it in the Bible. Because eye can't see and ear can't hear, but it's happening. Are you feeling condemned in any way? Just back up to Romans 8:1. The book opens the door for you to never be condemned again. You understand that? Never be condemned. Oh, I know. Yeah, but people put me down. I get that. But do you put you down? That's the issue. You see? You've been set free from ever being condemned again. By who? By God. Let's read it. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. That wonderful place in the New Testament where you always find something amazing every time you see that expression, in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's God's verdict. What's your own? What's your own verdict on yourself? What's your own verdict on other believers in Christ? Has the Holy Spirit gotten to your heart in such a way that you know this is true and you live this way? That's the issue. It's there. It's in Christ. You are in Christ. The only way that condemnation could really ever get to you now is if it first got to Christ and made its way to you. But think about that. Isn't that an impossibility? Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, perfectly satisfied the righteousness and justice of God. Condemnation can get nowhere near him. Guess what? You're in him. You know? Now, of course, the only place you're going to hear that is at a place where the Word of God is being preached. You see it? Because you won't hear that in the world. You won't hear that among mostly the peer groups that you're involved in. You're definitely not going to hear that from the attacks from the kingdom of darkness. By the way, the worst attacks from the kingdom of darkness are the ones that try to make you feel condemned and separated from God. Do you realize that? So if there are things in your life, no matter what they are, even religious things, especially religious things, that serve time again to put you feeling like you're separated from God, feeling like you've been put under condemnation, run from those things. Because my Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And quite frankly, it's a real attack and a real insult to our Lord and Savior, those thoughts, those things that are going on. It's not true. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. How about this? Are you tired of all the hatred that is out there? My gosh. Everywhere you look. Sports, politics, international relations, Romans 8. Family member to family member. Even saddest of all, Christian to Christian. The hatred. Are you tired of it? I am. Did you know there's a place? Wasn't that great? You guys, you were here Thursday night. I was trying to come up with that song from the 70s. It was from 72. I looked it up. Yeah, and Mark, of course, as usual, found it and played it at the end of class, you know. I'll take you there. Some sisters, I forget their name. The Pointer Sisters? Who? The Staple Sisters. Okay, they founded Staples later on, right, the company? The Staple Sisters. What a great song. They were gospel singers, and they were talking about things related to Christ when they sang that song, by the way. Amazing to think about that. Well, that's a long time ago now. It's over 40 years. My gosh. Yeah. But I'll take you there. I know a place. What's the place? In Christ Jesus. It's a place where you can be basking in total love. Did you hear me? In Christ Jesus, you can be basking in total love. And nothing will ever be able to separate you from that overflowing, all-encompassing love that's there for you in that place that we know. Look at Romans 8:38. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, nor things present, any of the situations in your life right now, nor things to come, anything that's coming down the pike in the future, nor powers, any power in this universe can't stand up to this, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. I love that, because you want to know why? By the time you get to any other created thing, I hope you realize that's everything in the universe except for God and God speaking. Isn't that great? Will ever be able to separate us from what? The love of God. The love of God. I know a place where we can go where the love of God will overflow everything. You know what that place is? It's right here. I'm not making this up. Which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's where we are now. That's where the Holy Spirit has put us. Are you stuck in the mud? Just another face in the crowd? You feel that way sometimes? Please turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 2. I've been picking on Facebook lately. Because everyone on Facebook tries to stick out from the crowd. But the wrong way. I'm starting to call it in your Facebook. Because that's really what it is. But anyway. The problem with that, of course, is if that's your recipe to try to not be that, to not be stuck in the mud, to not be another face in the crowd, to try to go to another place, a worldly place, where the only thing that matters is the other sick heads, how many of them can go like this? Thumbs up! Right? But then you watch. You watch. Put the truth about yourself down. Say that there are times when you're feeling discouraged and in pain. There are real questions that you have. You do have tragedy in your life. You do have suffering. Put that on there. Watch the number you get. And then on top of that, and say, I know a place, and it's in Christ Jesus my Lord. Then you'll find out who the Christians are in your Facebook. Right? Because that's all about dog eat dog, who's on top. Do you realize that in the world, if somebody's on top, somebody's going to get on the bottom? Do you understand that about the world that we live in? So if you're seeking it there, you're seeking it in the wrong place. Because in the world, what comes up must come down. In the world. But not in Christ. Do you understand that in Christ, everybody's a winner? It's like the thing that the American culture is trying to do to our young people. You know, everybody gets a trophy and everybody's a winner and all that. Do you realize there's only one place where that's true? In Christ Jesus. We're always having victory there. We're perfectly loved there. That's the only place. We are special there. You're unique. God has placed you. He's given you a unique spiritual gift. He's placed you in a unique place that's all your own in the body of Christ, in Christ. That's where you can be no longer stuck in the mud, no longer just another face in the crowd. And nobody can take that from you. Nobody can take that from you. People can delist on these things. People can go from thumbs up to thumbs down in all these worldly places where people are trying to seek fame and fortune and fulfillment. But nobody can ever take away from you what God has given you in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth. I love that. The most fleshly, all messed up church there probably ever was, with the exception of Lighthouse Bible Church in Pompano Beach, of course. And this is the way they're greeted by Paul the Apostle. To the church of God, you're God's people, which is at Corinth. To those who have been, already done, gift, sanctified where? I know a place in Christ Jesus. What a place. Saints by calling, who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the worst things that can happen is when verses like verse 3 become slogans. Become trite, repetitious things. Don't let that happen. Understand that Paul is saying, I've been there. I've seen what the Lord is doing. You have unlimited grace coming your way. You are at peace with God the Father forever. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The book, the Bible, has opened a window for you to live in the place where you will know that you have been carefully set apart for a unique calling of the highest kind. Have you felt foolish lately? I have. I feel foolish all the time. All I gotta do is look in the mirror. You know, you lack the wherewithal to see clearly what's going on. It happens to me all the time in the world and in people. I used to let it bother me. I used to be really upset and bothered, especially when it was going on with people in the royal family. I'm no longer bothered by it. I've realized that I am, you know, in and of myself, I'm not wise. I'm right there with the Corinthians. I'm one of the not many wise. Not many mighty. Not many noble. Do you realize that the false religions of the world tell you that you have to be somebody who's wise in order to make it in their system? That you have to be somebody strong. You have to have self-discipline in order to make it in their system? And do you realize that in many, many parts of the world, they set up nobility classes that say these people are doing it better than you? I'm in the highest caste in this silly comedy that's going on over there in that false religion. Yeah. But God and we have the audacity to say, we don't need that. We're not wise. We're not mighty. We're not noble. I get, you know, buffaloed all the time in life by people. I was thinking about that. When I was really in the world with my business and stuff, I remember that happening time and time again. That there were people in the world that they majored in being better than other people in ways where they could outfox them. That maybe they didn't have a better product, but they knew how to do something to schmooze or to put themselves in the right places or to get a head up on somebody else. And I used to think there was something wrong with me. And I finally realized that, you know what? The greatest policy to be in ain't the dog-eat-dog one, but it's the grace policy. And I realized that the Lord all these years has been taking care of me. He's been getting me through these things. He's been giving me what I need. I don't have to outsmart the world. You know? I just have to walk with Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 again. I love this. But by his doing, God, I'm emphasizing this, particularly our young people, when we start looking at these false religions, remember these words, gift, by his doing, by grace you have been saved. You are in Christ Jesus. That's a fact. What a place. Notice what's there for you. Who became to us wisdom from God. Not worldly wisdom, wisdom from God, and righteousness. We've already seen that this morning. And sanctification, set us apart. And redemption, been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, in whose presence no flesh shall boast. So we are in touch now with the wisest man in the universe, who is at our disposal 24 hours a day to give us all the wisdom we will ever need for any situation in life. But you know the challenge. Do you believe that? That's the key here, right? And I don't mean to put pressure on you to believe. That's the worst, that farthest thing I mean from that. But to really, you know, we all operate on a set of beliefs. Boom, 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 boom. And when we first came to Christ, that set of beliefs that we had, except for believing in Christ, were false. They were a false scale of values. They were lies, all right, in other words. Those are those strongholds that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, right? And the process of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is having God's Word rush into that place and God the Holy Spirit rush in there and get rid of the lies and put truth in its place. You see? And the great thing about believing these things is that we don't have to focus on us. We don't even have to focus on how much I'm believing. We just have to realize that we just open up and just look at these things for what they are. And if you'll do that, God will do the rest. But you got to do that. You got to be willing to say, you know what? There is a place. Being in Christ is real. God's word is reliable. These facts about me are true because I'm in Christ. That's all it takes. That's why Christ said, unless you become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Because little children live on faith. Do you understand that? They live on faith. They have to. They're totally dependent on people around them. They are. When kids go to school, they are dependent. They are believing in what the teacher's saying. That's why it's so horrible, so criminal, actually, when lies get taught to little children, especially in a school setting where they're putting their trust and their parents are putting their trust in authority figures and they're lying to them. Why? Because children operate on faith. They have to. They haven't developed empiricism. Very few four-year-old scientists out there experimenting on all these things, right? Because that happens later on. They're not really rationalists yet, where they're trying to, you know, figure everything out for themselves. 95% of being a little kid is faith. That's what God's saying. He's saying you need that same ability to live in my kingdom. That's the way Adam and the woman lived for that short period of time they were in paradise, right? They weren't figuring out what's good, what's evil. They were just saying, I love what you're giving me, Dad. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm enjoying the faith life. But no, our ancestors had to say, I'm listening to the serpent. There's something God's holding back. It's in that one tree he told me not to eat. The tree of the what? The knowledge, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're going to see about that. That's just not anything. That's important to understand that good and evil was introduced by doing something God didn't want us to do. Very interesting. We'll get to that. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Anybody falling apart this morning? Wake up on the wrong side of bed? Wake up in the wrong bed. You falling apart this morning? You feeling like there's some pieces missing? You know, you wake up and you're like, I look at me and I feel like there's some really important pieces missing. You know? Please turn to 2 Corinthians 1:21. Because there's a place where you're already established and God has looked at it and he said, signed, sealed, and delivered. And that's in Christ Jesus. Let's read it again. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes you, establishes us with you in Christ. A reminder, by the way, that we're all members of the body of Christ. And anointed us is God, who also sealed us. These are facts. God has already established you in Christ. Okay, you're not falling apart in Christ, trust me. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, a promise. You are sealed for the day of redemption because God has placed the Holy Spirit in you. That's what this is saying. And that's a promise. You know, if you look at it, all the things about your life that don't add up, the missing pieces, the falling apart, do you realize that all of that happens in the world and all that happens in your flesh? It's absolutely not true that anything about you that has come from heaven, that there's anything lacking in there. There's nothing lacking in your salvation, for example. There's nothing lacking in your redemption. There's nothing lacking in your great high priest. There's nothing lacking in the new nature that God has made you to have and be. There's nothing lacking in any of those things. There's nothing lacking in the fruit of the Spirit. There's nothing lacking in anything that matters. The places where we think we're lacking are places where we're still listening to the world. You're not fat enough. You're too fat. You're not smart enough. You're too smart. You made that mistake. Have you talked to your accountant this week? I mean, I can go on and on, right? Those are all things about the world. The world is trying to tug at you to get you to forget about who you are in Christ. Because they know they've got you there. The whole game right now is for this kingdom of darkness to make you think you're still in Adam. Because the defeat of the kingdom of darkness is that Christ has come, wiped them out at the cross, and has rescued the willing, and has put them in a safe place forever called in Christ. That's the truth. Okay? But the kingdom of darkness in the world and your own flesh are going to work at you to try to make you think otherwise. And unless you continue to keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on the good news, the truth about you, you're going to fall into that stuff. You are complete in Christ. You're not falling apart. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Are people telling you that you're nothing but a loser? This is a tough one, especially for the young people. And you know what? Of course, other young people do this all day long. You're a loser, right? That happens all the time. It's one of their favorite words. Well, they're worse words, but the same message, right? You don't fit in. People don't like you. You're not my friend, right? All that kind of stuff. Telling you you're nothing but a loser. And it happens with adults as well. And more, because by the time we're adults, we're more sophisticated about it. You know, we don't ever do the simple, straight in your face stuff that kids do anymore. It's more subtle. You know, it's more subtle. Who gets invited to a party, or who's sitting with who, or all that kind of stuff. Who walks by and doesn't say hi? Look, I've been playing the games with you for a long time. All right, so I know exactly what we do. Okay, we put people down in certain ways because we don't want them to think they're as good as we are. All right, are people doing that to you? Are people telling you in some way or another, but you're nothing but a loser? The book will put you in a position where you will always be led to triumph. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm telling you, if I wrote this book without the Bible, people would think I was a maniac, wouldn't they? If I said there's a place where you can have eternal life and be seen perfectly righteous and always have victories, they would say, lock this guy up. He's like hallucinating. Really? Well, God's a hallucinatorian then. That's a word. I don't know if that's a word. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Is that a word? No. What would it be? Hallucinogenic? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. How do you know all those words? Oh, never mind. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Yeah. Not that particular word, though. It came right off. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I tease the ones I love. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Where? In Christ. I know a place where you're always led in triumph. That's what my Bible says. Your Bible say that? Does your Bible have the word always, or did I put that in? It has the word always, right? Always. Yeah. Always leads us in triumph. This place exists. It's in Christ. It manifests. Notice this. Beyond that, there's an impact around you. Manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. See, that's why it's important for us to bask in the wonders of being in Christ. Because as we do that, and we're convinced of that, and we know that the Bible doesn't lie to us, that God doesn't lie to us, as we enjoy the fact that there's a place where we're not going to be a loser, where we're going to be led in triumph always, then we change. How can you not change knowing these things about yourself in Christ? And as you do, you see, as you look at the good news, as you look at the wonders of being in Christ, and you let that register in the deepest parts of who you are, God, the Holy Spirit, is changing you into the kind of person that you step into somebody's life, and that's you, right? Not by some works program, all right? Not by some strenuous striving with some kind of formula that somebody cooked up for you, but by believing the truth about what God has already given you and who you actually are in Christ. That's the miracle. That's how you change. And as you do that, you become a fountain of grace for other people so that this becomes true about you. What's true? That He will manifest through you the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Meaning that not only you led in triumph, but you lead other people in triumph too. What an amazing, amazing plan. Are you feeling old, on the other hand, this morning? Are you feeling worn out this morning? Find the one place, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll put it on the board too. Well, you will see that you have been made into a completely new creature, with a life filled with new and wonderful things. Again, if this were a self-help book, if Oprah was saying this morning, right? You know, a lot of people go for it, you know, but it's unbelievable, right? But it's the Bible. Look, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the King James translation. If you ever want to know why I'm using the King James for that verse, I'll tell you. And the answer is because I've taken a look at the different Greek manuscripts and looked at the so-called logic of those who think they can figure out everything on their own. And sometimes they make the wrong decision. Okay? That this is a superior way of seeing this verse. And all things are become new. All things are become new. What does that mean? That means when you're in Christ, everything about you in Christ is new. And that's true. I mean, that's a fact. All things are passed away. All that you were in Adam passed away. All things are become new. Your spiritual gift, your nature, your ability to understand the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in you. All these things are new. Are you always being put down? Is that a part of your life? Please go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19. 2 Corinthians 12, 19. Try to get through a few more of these this morning. But again, I don't know why we'd want to rush through this. Right? I mean, in a way, rushing through this is like saying, you know, your boss gives you a two-week vacation, and you rush through seeing everything in one day and come home to work the next day. Yeah, you rushed through it. You made great time. You know, but was that really what it was for? No. Are you always getting put down? This book, the Bible, speaks about this union that you have where everything will be for your upbuilding ultimately. You'll be firmly rooted, built up, and established. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:19. All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking where? In Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. Isn't that great to know that when you come to the Word of God, it's all ultimately for your upbuilding, that it's written by the Father who loves you, and that everything about it is there for your good. And that's the heartbeat of God. He's not here to put us down. That's why if you're spending time in a place where you feel like you're mostly getting put down, even if it has the label Christian, it's not the right place. Because that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My Bible says that the words spoken by the apostles are all for our upbuilding, beloved, the ones being loved by God. Are you tied down and in bondage to people or things or situations? Notice again where the bondage comes from. The world, things, other people, situations, right? Jesus Christ said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. He was talking about this. And in particular, Galatians 2, 4. You realize that he was talking about religion as the ultimate bondage? Listen up, young people. This is where we're headed on Monday night class. Religion is the ultimate bondage. Why? Because it's using the name of God to put you in bondage. That's why. It's the worst kind of bondage. It's worse than what the world tries to do to you, obviously. Jesus once said, if the light that is inside you is darkness, how great the darkness. If you think, like Paul when he was Saul, that you're doing the word of God, the will of God, by your zealousness for your religious approach to life, and then it turns out you were killing Christians, how great was your darkness? I'm not saying that's you, but I'm saying that that's what happens with religion. It makes us into zealots that would do anything that we're told to do because somebody said it's for God. And yes, I am talking about things like blowing up abortion clinics, for example, if you want to put things on the table. Yeah, I'm talking about that. I'm also talking about the zealotry in Islam. Every religion, you'll find it there. But it's a bondage, the worst kind of bondage. Look at Galatians 2, 4. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out what? Our liberty, which we have where? That wonderful place, in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. Living at that place, in Christ Jesus, you have a wonderful liberty and freedom. Do you think you're cursed this morning? I talk to people who think they're cursed. Why? Because they're looking at themselves the way the world looks at them. They're not looking at themselves in Christ. They're being put down because maybe they have some problems with their health, or they can't find a job, or it seems like bad things keep happening to you, right? They think they're cursed. They're not cursed. They're only letting other people in the world get to them. That's all. If you think you're down on your luck, do you realize that there's no such thing in the plan of God as down on your luck? All things working together for the good for those who love him, called in his plan. You really think nothing's going your way, especially this morning after where we've been? But if you do, there's a place. Ephesians 1:3. Because this book, the Bible, reveals the secret to being blessed with every imaginable blessing of any value in life. Already yours. Listen to that again. I'm going to read the passage too. But you have, if you're a believer in Christ, you are in Christ, and that means that you've already been blessed with every imaginable blessing of any value in life. But do you believe that? That's the key. You know, if you haven't believed it until now, take it in. Let the truth set you free. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. This is God speaking to you this morning, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? On the job? No. On Facebook? No. Where? In Christ. I know a place where you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make up a place where you will have perfect love that you can never lose. You can't make up this thing that in Christ you have eternal life right now. Or that you will always be led in triumph. Or this one, you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That again, so you see what that's a fact about you? Can you see that? He's saying, this has already occurred. You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What that means is that God, the creator of this universe, loves you so much that in his wildest imagination, he came up with all these things for you that will be the most amazing, mind-boggling, blessed things that could ever be imagined and that you can't imagine because eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. You're not going to get this from the world. You're not going to get this from false religion. But it's already been done for you. Where? I know a place. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where it's been done. That's where it's been done. I'm going to have to make a rule that all the ladies have to come forward before the fifth to the last row because that baby's too adorable. Too adorable. All right, so that's the truth, though. This is the thing. You know? See that? He knows what I'm talking about. Is it he or her? It's a he. He knows I'm talking about him. That's all right. Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That little child is not worried about the stock market, not worried about the Canadians coming down in the winter, not worried about... I know you're sick heads. Yeah, I know. God blessed them for helping our economy, right? Not worried about whether or not Obamacare is going to be implemented correctly, right? Not scratching their head figuring out, I got to go to work today for my next meal. Nope. All that baby's doing is looking into the eyes of mommy and daddy and saying, I am fine. And that's what you need to do. All you got to do is look into the eyes of your father and say, I'm fine. That's what this is all for. He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us, and it's us. Yeah, I know it. In Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God thought about you. And he blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now we will be holy and blameless before him. All right, just one more, because we're in the book of Ephesians. I know we feel this way at times. Tired of being poor, right? Poor is a relative word, of course. You know? The things that usually make us feel poor is really when we see somebody who has more than we have, and we want it. I mean, that's really what makes us feel poor. You talk about our parents and grandparents, you know, and they lived in a world where a lot of them rented their places, small homes, one car, if that. My grandparents lived their whole life without having a car, ever. Ever. I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying, right? We're in a world where we're about at least 60 to 70% of the people in this world have never had a meal as good as your breakfast this morning. You know? So that's only my relative, okay? But again, what makes you feel poor at the end of the day? Looking at the world, looking at other people, looking at life the way your flesh wants to see it. Do you realize that you can be and have been transported to a kingdom where you already have obtained an amazing inheritance? And like an inheritance, inheritance makes you feel rich even if you don't actually use it yet, of course. But you have an inheritance that you can draw from. The ruler of this universe, God, for his own pleasure, gave this inheritance to you. And he did it in such a way that he promises everything is going to work together for good in that kingdom. Look at Ephesians 1:10. At the very end, last two words. The most important words, right? In him. That's where, that place. Also, notice it's stated as a fact. It's not a carrot being hung in front of your, you know, they used to have animals where they'd hang a carrot in front of them. I don't know how this works, but the faster they ran, the more the carrot went away. You know, that's the world. That's religion. No, this is a fact already done for you. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose. Notice this, who works all things after the counsel of his will. And we just saw his will means he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. God giving you an inheritance and blessing you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and that's an amazing, wondrous thing. But then that you realize that he did that ultimately for his own glory. You know, we have the wrong idea about God. We do. We think he's like us, but he's not. You see, he says, no, I've done all of this, all these gifts that you saw, redemption, an inheritance, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, being led in triumph. All these things he's done as a gift because that is to his glory to be able to do that. That's the magnitude of what Christ has done with his blood on the cross for us. That now God has an open door to pour out blessings like you can't even imagine. And he's doing it to you, with you, in Christ. For his glory. So that the ages to come, he can point to us and say, notice what I was able to do for fallen man. It looked like it was over. My wonderful creation, humanity, they fell. But look what my son did. Look what that means now I can do. Every time it's another believer and can let that believer know the wonders about being in Christ, it's to the glory of the Father and the glory of Jesus Christ. We need to change our thinking a little bit about who our God is. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for once again allowing us to spend time in your word, to go to that place in your Son, Christ Jesus, where the most wonderful things are there for us. Help us, Father, to not only go there when we're together, but continue to go there. Going back to your word, checking out these verses again, allowing the Holy Spirit to deepen and deepen their meaning and our understanding of them, Father. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's on his merits we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just want to briefly say a couple of words about giving as we normally do on Sundays, and then I'm going to have Steve Cantrell come up and give us the gospel message, the good news. And again, you know, the way giving really is for us to understand grace, right? And then to realize, like that great passage we saw this morning about the fact that we have been placed in a place where 2 Corinthians 2:14 again, where we're always led in triumph in Christ, that's first. And once we're there and we see the glories and we see the wonders and we're graced out and blessed by it, it frees us up to see life in a new way. That God has given us things for us to be able to pour out. You know, David said, my cup overflows, right? That's what God wants to do in our life. He wants our cup to overflow. And it will. And it ought to be, you know, a free God loves a cheerful giver, right? Not saying, you know what, I read somewhere in the Old Testament about a tax and I better put the tax on myself, tithing. No, freely, because I wanna, right? Because you want to. That's the way it's designed to be. And when that happens, it works fantastically. And the Bible talks about the idea that those are the sacrifices that God is well pleased with and that his blessing will continue to overflow. And he's doing it so that we can be members one of the other, take care of each other, and also be one of those groups and individuals that goes out there and have those things. Once we've been led in triumph, we realize that we can bring the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. That's what he's looking for in this whole area of giving. Let's pray for the offering this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for opening our eyes to the wonders of being in Christ. We thank you, Father, for magnificence of your giving heart, most amazingly in giving us Jesus, and now also giving us the truth about who we have been made to be in Christ. Father, we just pray this morning that the offerings and giving that are done by our family here would redound to your glory. And we just thank you that you've promised and you're always going to meet our needs in Christ Jesus. Asking in his name we pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen. At this time, I'm inviting up Steve Cantrell. By the way, we have an offering box in the back. We don't pass the basket around or anything like that. So just as much as possible, you realize that this really is a matter of you worshiping God, and it's really not other people's business what you're doing or who gives when or anything like that. So we try to keep it as private as we can.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. My joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well. Joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my king. You are my king. Jesus, you are my king. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all.